Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And I'm real pleased to have with us this morning our good friend, Emily Pike, who's the Executive Director of New Hope for Families. Hi, Emily. How are you today?
I'm really well. Thanks, Denise. How are you?
Great. It's so good to see you. You know, it's interesting, you know, when you look at your website and your literature, you have some amazing stats on there, like, you know, that 80% of your families who stay in your shelters move on to stable housing. And I think the state average, you say, is 52%. And you have so many other great stats that 90% of your parents have kids enrolled in your early childhood ed program can gain or maintain employment. And there's just more great stuff like that. How does New Hope do that? What's your secret sauce?
Oh, that's a great question, Denise. And I should be clear that, you know, our secret sauce is really just learning what we can about what is best practice out there. So we didn't invent this. But really importantly, we kind of think of this as a three-pronged approach. The first is an individualized plan, recognizing that what works for one family may not work for another. Families are different. They have different needs. You know, for some families, our ability to support that early childhood piece is an absolute game changer. For other families, you know, if they've got, a couple of teenagers, for example, maybe what they really need is some support to find a better job that pays a little better. Other families might need some mental or physical health support, but really recognizing that I don't know that, and no one on my team knows that. The person who knows that are the people in those families. They're the experts on their own lives. They're the only ones who have lived their lives. And so being able to meet them where they are, hear what their goals are, and make a plan that is just for them, I think is a big part of it. The second prong is what we call a housing first approach. And housing first is something that you hear sometimes. And I think, you know, a lot of people in our community know something about it. It's difficult to really understand unless you take some time to think about it. So housing first, Denise, kind of stands in opposition really to an older model that we now think of as housing readiness. So housing readiness works a little like this. You know, you come in to my shelter and I say, oh gosh, Denise, you and your family have become homeless. I'm so sorry to hear that. Welcome to New Hope. Let's talk through what went wrong for you before, and let's fix those things to make sure they don't go wrong again. And once they're fixed, let's get you into a new home. And that seems really sensible, doesn't it? The problem with that is, whatever it was that caused you and your family to become homeless is not going to be easier to fix while you're homeless, right? And in fact, your homelessness is likely going to exacerbate that problem. Mm-hmm. Say you've got a kid with special needs, right? And so you've been having to miss work to be able to help care for this child, and you're having a hard time getting the support you need at school. If your family becomes homeless and you move to a different school district 3 times in a year, I can promise you that kiddo is going to have a harder time and you're going to have a harder time. If you have a mental health problem, if you have a substance use problem, if you have a physical health problem, goodness knows if your problem is that you're having a hard time holding your job, there is nothing that's harder to do than keep a job while you're homeless. So a housing first approach flips that on its head a little bit. And what it says is, oh, Denise, you and your family have become homeless. I'm so sorry to hear that. Let's get you into a home. Because fundamentally, the only thing that fixes homelessness is homes. And that sounds, you know, obvious, right? But it is true. And really importantly, housing first doesn't mean housing only. Mm-hmm. Housing first means this is the most important thing. It means we put first things first, and we get people into homes, and then we continue to offer these supportive services as people need them and want them. Which brings me to the third prong, which is voluntary services. So a voluntary services model flows out of those other two things, right? Which is an individualized plan and housing first. So a voluntary services model says, nobody's gonna be forced to take a budgeting class. Nobody's going to be forced to take a nutrition class. Nobody's going to be forced to take a parenting class. Nobody's going to be forced to have some support with their kids' IEP. All of those things are going to be available to you. And we're going to let you tell us when you're ready to learn them. I don't know about you, Denise, but there are plenty of things in my life that I could learn right now. And I'll tell you what, in this past year, I don't know about you, but it's been a little tricky, right? There've been a lot of challenges this year. Sometimes I tell people when we're thinking about the voluntary services model to imagine, you know, think for yourself about a really difficult time in your life and whether that was a relationship ending or losing a job or, you know, losing someone that you care for, or maybe you had a physical health problem or a mental health problem. And then imagine some well-meaning person coming along and saying to you, you know, Denise, what would be great is if you started growing your own vegetables so that you knew that you're only eating local and you're only eating organic. And if you could probably switch to being vegan. Now, is that person wrong? Almost definitely not. We probably should all do that. On the day when you are trying to navigate these other very difficult things, may not be the time when you're best equipped to hear that and integrate that information. And so what we want to do with the voluntary services model is be respectful, right? Could most people use a budgeting class? Well, probably. All right. I'm not showing anybody my Amazon orders. Okay. What I am saying is people should get to choose which information they want to learn when, just like the rest of us, right? And so that's what voluntary services says, is that we're going to have all these things here for you. And when you're ready, you let us know. We're going to keep offering periodically. And what we've seen is that, you know, before when we used to require participation in some of these things, we definitely had begrudging participation, right? But when we are offering these things and allowing families to come as they're ready, we have enthusiastic and engaged participation. And we're really happy about that. So that's great. A little bit about how we do what we do.
Mm-hmm. No, it makes perfect sense. And so to kind of help do your thing better, you have some pretty exciting news recently, didn't you?
We did have some exciting news recently. Yes. Thank you for asking.
Want to share a little bit more about that?
I do. Yeah. So, you know, New Hope has been around for not quite 10 years. It'll be 10 years this summer. Mm-hmm. And ask me later and I'll tell you about we're having a big party to celebrate our 10th birthday.
All right.
But you know, we have been around for almost 10 years. And for that whole time, we have been the very grateful beneficiaries of some generosity from what was then Bloomington Hospital and is now IU Health Bloomington. And we've been running this whole operation out of a few single family homes there on West Beckham Street. And we've been so fortunate to have the use of those. But I got to tell you, they're not perfectly suited to what we do. And so as the city makes some great big plans for that property, we're making some great big plans for New Hope. So what we're looking at there is relocating all of our services to a property at the corner of Morton and Patterson. So if you're wondering where that is, if you can think about where Feast is, where Sweetgrass is, Stone now, excuse me, used to be Sweetgrass, where Southern Stone is, it's really close to there. And we broke ground just about 5 weeks ago in the middle of April. Yeah, so what we're planning to do there is expand our services really dramatically. So right now we can shelter 7 families at a time on site. And this will allow us to shelter 12 families at a time. And we think that's closer to what our community needs. Mm-hmm. Right now, tonight, we will be sheltering 12 families. They just won't all be in our shelter. 5 of them in hotels tonight. And that's because we don't have enough capacity to meet the need in our shelters.
No, congratulations. That's a huge step. And along with that, now you're not just going to have your sheltering capacity there. You have another piece you're putting there too, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the other piece of what we do at New Hope is early childhood. And so we right now offer early childhood care and development, nationally accredited early childhood care and development for young children, up to 16 kids at a time. So this will allow us to expand that capacity 200% to 48 children.
That's phenomenal.
So excited about that. We think this is something our community really needs. Mm-hmm. And we're absolutely thrilled about the location, especially for those little kiddos.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, you're the only emergency shelter in Indiana that has a child care level 4 PASTA quality program, aren't you?
You know, to my knowledge, yes, that is the case. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something we saw early on, Denise, that we had a lot of kiddos. You know, a lot of people don't realize it, but you know, we think, and we're talking right now a lot about homelessness in Bloomington. And we have some ideas about what that looks like, whether it's people in the park or people with signs. And those are some of the faces for sure. And those are some people who could use some support for sure. But the truth is 40% of the people in Bloomington who are experiencing homelessness tonight are families with children. And that problem is almost invisible. And it's almost invisible because those folks have to fly under the radar. They're afraid that their children will be removed without help in that way. And so being able to meet the needs for those families is really important to us and really impactful for this community. And we realized, you know, if we wanted to meet that need, we really had to be thinking about all the members of those families. And because so many of those kids are little, providing that early childhood piece was really important to us.
And talk a little bit more. So past equality, can you explain a little bit more what that designation means?
Absolutely. Yeah. So past equality, the state of Indiana decided several years ago that it wanted to find a way to systematically help parents and caregivers and guardians choose and identify quality care for their children. It's a really hard thing. You know, without getting too technical about it, we call it a principal agent problem, right? But what it means is that what's happening there while your kiddo is at school, you may or may not know. And that can be really scary for parents, especially because kids are not, you know, always the most reliable reporters. And so having something in place that says, okay, this is what high quality looks like. This is what you should be looking for. To know that not only is your kiddo going to be safe and well cared for, but they're going to be getting ready for kindergarten at the same time, academically, physically, socially, emotionally. And so past equality rates providers 1, 2, 3, or 4. And 4 is the highest level. And 4 is the one that is means that you have also achieved national accreditation. And only about 6% of family child care providers in the state of Indiana achieve that level.
No, so congratulations. And so that's really going to having this new facility will increase your capacity to serve children in the community then.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question. You know, it's not uncommon for us. You know, we've got 16 kiddos at our school, and it's not uncommon for us to have a waiting list with another 18 kids on it. You know, we'll just never be able to serve all of those kids with the capacity that we have now. So being able to add additional capacity is something that's been part of our dream for a really long time.
So talk about your timeline a little bit, because this is exciting. So you've broken ground, like, you know, when are you expecting to, you know, get the building done? And obviously you're a nonprofit organization, so you must be in the middle of raising funds. So talk about all that a little, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we broke ground in mid-April, and we are expecting substantial completion of those buildings by the end of the year. So 2 buildings, one has our early childhood program in our offices, and the other is for family shelter. So, you know, we'll be seeking an occupancy permit immediately upon completion. So we anticipate moving families into shelter sometime in January, which we're very excited about. And then for early childhood, we'll open those classrooms a little more slowly. So just a couple at a time. We really, it's very important to us that as we make the transition, we maintain that quality. And so we'll be adding just probably a dozen or so kids at a time to what we do now. But we're really looking forward to that. And we'll be doing that beginning in January and continuing for a full year after that until we get up to full.
That makes a lot of sense. So are you in public fundraising part of your campaign now, or are you looking for donations from the community? If you could talk about that a little more.
We absolutely are. Yeah. Thank you for asking. So we are, we have been quietly raising, quietly raising money in the community for a little over a year now, but we're very
excited. That secret might be out now since we're on radio.
I think the secret's out. Oh yeah. Yeah. My bad. So I think, you know, it has actually, Denise, been so hard to keep this a secret. And one of the most exciting things this year is being able to welcome the rest of the community into this mission. So we have been quietly raising money for a little over a year, and we've raised just over $3.5 million. Now, the goal for this campaign
Congratulations.
Thank you. The goal is $5.75 million. So we are coming back to the rest of the community to ask for some additional support. You know, this is such an important mission to our community. And I'll tell you what, you know, as I said at the beginning, New Hope is not quite 10 as an agency. And I don't think there are any people who were around at the beginning who could have imagined where we are now. And it's so humbling to watch all the ways in which this community has risen up to support this mission time after time. You know, a few years ago, we decided to kind of throw our caps over the wall and say, look, we want to make a commitment that no family will sleep outside here. We want to make a commitment that no family will sleep outside, live in their car, or be forced to separate in order to receive vital services. And that's something that we said yes to enthusiastically. And so even through this pandemic, when the demand was crazy, this community stood up and said, nope, this is important to us. And so we feel really confident that this is something that the community is going to rally around again. It's just something that Bloomington values.
No, it's very, very exciting. So if people are listening, you know, and feel that this mission resonates with them, what's the best way for them to participate? The website, or should they call, or how physically, how would they do that?
Yeah, so there are a couple of different ways. You can absolutely visit our website, newhope4families.org. So newhope4families.org with the number four. And you can learn all about the campaign there. You can also call or email. You know, if you want to be brought into the loop on this or learn a lot more about it, you can send an email to development@newhope4families.org. And you can also find that on our website. But any one of our team members would be happy to talk with someone about, you know, how they'd like to participate, because we'd really like to welcome everyone in this community into this mission.
Well, that's wonderful. And thank you for sharing that information. I think it's amazing that you have a target date of the end of the year for the shelter.
I know. It's so exciting.
Yeah. So are you surprised that it's almost your 10th anniversary? It creeps up pretty fast, doesn't it?
I really am kind of surprised. It's felt like it's just around the corner for 2 or 3 years now. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh no, it's now. So that's really exciting. So New Hope received its certificate of occupancy the first time around on July 11th, 2011. And we moved our first family into stable housing on August 16th of the same year. And so we're going to be taking that period this summer, July 11th to August 16th, to support 10 years of New Hope in this community and to look forward to the next 20 years of New Hope in this community. And I think that this is happening at the same time as this exciting new project is just a perfect conversion. Because there'll be a lot of opportunities for people to celebrate with us and learn about what we do and join the Hope movement, as we're saying.
That's awesome. We'll have to have you back on then so you can update us on plans.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you can be looking for a big community picnic, I think sometime in early August.
Nice. Well, that's exciting. Something else to put on the calendar.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now that we're allowed to, you know, see
that's
people.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Emily, thank you so much for being with us this morning and sharing your exciting news, and congratulations on that. And also personally, congratulations on your recent Chamber Women Excel in Business Award.
Oh, thanks so much, Denise. That was really humbling to receive that. And I'm so grateful.
Well, well-deserved. Well, thank you very much again, Emily. And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.